Please turn for me in the Word of God to Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This is the Lord's holy and inspired word. Please give it your full attention. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. We are so thankful, O Lord, for your word. We are so thankful, O Lord, that we are not left to our own wisdom, our own devices, how we might worship and glorify you. We're so thankful that you have revealed yourself to us. And we're so thankful that the one at the center of the word is the living word himself, Jesus Christ. We do pray, O Lord, now as your word is proclaimed, that your spirit would descend upon us and that we would behold Christ, and that we would know that he is the author and perfecter of our salvation. And it's in his name we do pray. Amen. I cannot thank you enough for your prayers on my behalf. On the evening of March 23rd, I was taken to the emergency room at Abington Hospital. And there I was immediately diagnosed with very severe COVID and a blood clot in my left lung. My oxygen levels were so low that almost immediately the doctors were asking permission to put me on a ventilator if needed. I was put on a steroid treatment and antibiotics were pumped into me. And I did what the doctors told me, particularly I laid on my stomach, and I breathed through my nose, and I exhaled through my mouth one breath at a time. But I added something that the doctors did not tell me, as wonderful as they were. I recited the 23rd Psalm. Recited it, prayed it, meditated upon it over and over again. If the Lord was going to take me to himself, I could think of no better pillow for dying. But it was more than trusting God in adversity. It was also thanking God for his goodness and mercy. And as I would dwell upon that psalm, lying there in that hospital bed, I knew I was going to be okay. I would either be with the Lord in glory or be preserved to serve him here on this earth. While I was in isolation in the hospital for 23 days, and as I came to the end and I was getting better, I started to think about preaching and the opportunity to serve the Lord again in gospel ministry. And I started to think about preaching Psalm 23. So being here with you this morning is an answer to prayer. And it's such a privilege to share with you the good news of Jesus Christ from this 23rd Psalm. Now, Psalm 23 is about the Lord who is the shepherd. But it's also personal. It's also about the Lord, my shepherd. And David, the author of this psalm, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he understands that connection. So what David does in this magnificent portion of God's word is in the first three verses, he talks about the shepherd. And then in the last three verses, he's talking to the shepherd. As one of the sheep, he's talking about the shepherd, and then he's talking to the shepherd. And he starts with that glorious line, the opening line of Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Now, every blessing that flows in this psalm follows from that declaration. Those who belong to the shepherd do not want. Now, understand what's meant there by not wanting or not lacking. It's not that you'll have everything from an earthly perspective at your disposal. That's not what's in view. Rather, in having God, in having the Lord as your shepherd, you will have everything you need in this life and in the one to come. Martin Luther explained this opening verse in this way. Luther said, "The world glories in trust and power, honor, power, riches, and the favor of men. Psalm 23, however, glories in none of these, for they are all uncertain and perishable. The Lord is my shepherd speaks a sure and certain faith, which turns its back on everything temporal and transitory and turns its face and heart directly to the Lord." Now, do you understand what Luther is saying here? He's saying, even if you are without money, you can know, in the words of Psalm 16, that the lines have fallen to you in pleasant places because the Lord is your shepherd. And that's eternal. It's not transitory or temporary. It's not going to pass away. The Lord is your shepherd. Even if your heart and flesh may fail, Psalm 73, you are blessed because the Lord is your shepherd. Whatever the circumstance, whatever the trial, you are the sheep of his pasture. And you are to know this from this psalm. You're to know this from this opening declaration. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Here's the shepherd who cares. Here is the shepherd who loves. How much so? Verse 2, "He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters." Now, I am, from my roots, a country boy. I grew up in the hills of eastern Ohio on top of a cattle farm. So my experience is with cattle. It is not with sheep. The only thing with my experience with sheep is that my grandparents were separated, but they both were on the farm, as I was also with my mother and sister on the farm. And my grandmother, to get under the skin of my grandfather for a brief time, started to have sheep. And all I can remember as a little boy is my grandfather with a thick German accent yelling at my grandmother that her sheep was destroying his pasture for the cattle. So that's my experience with sheep. It's very, very limited. But there was a pastor in the mid-20th century who was a wonderful preacher, theologian. His name was J. Douglas McMillan. And he has written just an incredible book. Some of you might be familiar with it, The Lord My Shepherd. And so much of what I'm going to be telling you about sheep and shepherding comes from that book, The Lord My Shepherd. McMillan, for 12 and a half years, was a shepherd in the western tip of Scotland. And then he went off to seminary and became the theological school and just became a very gifted and wonderful pastor. And he writes about that experience and this 23rd Psalm in The Lord My Shepherd. And so McMillan, with all these years of shepherding, points out that one of the most difficult tasks he had as a shepherd was getting the sheep to lie down. Because sheep are always afraid. They're always scared. And you might think about it. Sheep can't protect themselves the way other animals can. They can't fight. They can't really run away. They won't get away running. They can't hide. Sheep are utterly dependent upon a shepherd. And that's the case with us. There's many things that rattle us at night. There's many things that keep us up at night. Things that are beyond us. Well, the Lord your shepherd wants to dispel fear in your life. The Lord your shepherd wants you to know he is there for you so that you can lie down, so that you can feed and drink and be refreshed. The Lord your shepherd wants to give you peace. He wants to bring you into that tranquility that is only found being in his presence. And could there be a more beautiful picture of rest and safety? The shepherd leading the sheep to green pastures and still waters. And that is what the Lord, our shepherd, does. He brings us to that place that we might drink and be refreshed. But it's more than just physical bread and water. For we know from the word of God that man does not live by bread alone. The Lord, our shepherd, knows that. He knows that we need the bread of life. He knows that we need the living water. And that is what he provides through his word and spirit. He cares for us. He loves us. He brings us to that place of rest and safety. But he's also the one, the shepherd, who restores our soul. For even though he does this, and he brings us to these places, we are sheep. We are those who stray. Now, Macmillan talks about this, and it's quite powerful, in that when sheep stray, they often become cast. That is, they end up in a place, sitting down, lying down, where they cannot move. And that's because the sheep look for the softest place to lie, the softest, most comfortable place to lie. But what happens then is they cannot get their legs back under them. They cannot rise up. And because they cannot get their legs under them and rise up, they end up with blood circulation problems, with the blood in their three stomachs. And it's fatal for them if they get cast in that position. So what a shepherd does is to seek out those sheep who are cast, who are stuck. And he lifts them out, and he restores them. That's his duty. That's what he's always on the lookout for. And that's what the Lord our shepherd does. When we stray from him and seek out the comfortable and soft option in life, in other words, in the terminology of the Word of God, when we seek the broad path, when we seek that which we believe is the easy path, we have such a wonderful shepherd that he will not allow us to destroy ourselves. He restores us. He's the one who will lift us out of despair. And he doesn't stop there. As David proclaims, he then leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now again, as I said earlier, I don't have experience with sheep, but I have a lot of experience with cattle, with dairy cattle. And it seems like every week you're always out there because some part of the fence had gotten broken or tore down, and the cattle was out. And so what you needed to do is you needed to herd them and get them back inside, and then you'd repair that fence. That's what you would do. You would drive them from behind. Well, that's not what you do with sheep. Sheep are different. Shepherds lead sheep from the front. And in Palestine, particularly, that would always be the case because it's not Eastern Ohio. And you would not have fences up. There were no fences. So you would have these shepherds, and they would be leading the sheep. They would be leading the sheep on these paths. And they would be leading them, first of all, to protect them from wild beasts, to scare off the wild beasts that might harm them. But secondly, because you were in unfenced places. And so you might have a pasture here, and you might have crops here, and you might have a path in between. The shepherd, by leading the sheep, would keep them from wandering off and destroying the field because the shepherd would be liable for any damage that was done. You see, that's what the Lord, our shepherd, is. He's a shepherd. He's not a cowboy. He's not herding us from behind. Rather, he's leading us from the front. And he's leading us on the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Can you think? I mean, it's just so glorious what he does and how he treats us. And he does so for his name's sake. So he leads. The paths of righteousness are the paths that are defined by the will of God. And he leads us on these paths, not only for our good and for God's glory, but for his own name's sake. He's leading us there that we might be saved. And his name is in view here in regard to his reputation as a shepherd is in view. He's leading us along in these paths so that we might be with him and that others might know that we belong to him. So those are pretty three amazing verses in talking about the shepherd. But then it becomes even more personal in verse 4 when David starts talking to the shepherd. So verses 4 through 6, he starts talking to the shepherds. And the way you can see this in the text, and you can even see it in the English, is in the pronouns being used. So in the first three verses, the pronouns about the shepherd, they're in the third person. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside the still waters. But now notice in the fourth verse, the pronouns change. Now he's speaking to the shepherd, and the pronouns then are in the second person. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Do you notice that change there? What's happened here in our text, in this wonderful psalm? It's one thing to talk about the Lord, our shepherd, and it's glorious. It's another thing when you've entered the darkest of valleys, even the shadow of the valley of death, and to know that you can talk to the shepherd. That's how personal it is. That's the relationship here. To speak to him directly. To speak to the one who cares for you personally. To speak to the one who loves you personally. The shepherd, you see, is always with us. And that's why we are to fear no evil. Now note here, he doesn't say that we'll never face evil in this life. What he tells us, what he promises on the basis of the Word of God, is that we will not fear any evil. That the Lord is with us, and that his rod and his staff, they comfort us. Now, a shepherd, and Macmillan's great about this, a shepherd in the winter would be preparing his staff, carving it out, to get the best staff, you know, finding that great stick that was just the right length, and then you would carve it so it had a hook. And so it would be used for a dual purpose. It could be used as an instrument, as a rod of correction, to keep the sheep from really harming themselves by a rod of correction. But it could also be used as a staff, particularly that little hook, so that when they got into a stream or places where they were in trouble, you could take that staff and you could hook them, and you could draw them to yourself. And that's what the Lord our Shepherd does in our times of need. He delivers us from trouble, and he defends us from our enemies. But in verse 5, it's more than just that he defends us from our enemies. He also defiles our enemies. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. And this is so powerful, so beautiful, and yet so powerful. In the face of our enemies, in the face of the evil one, he feeds us. Friends, the world around us, it's losing its mind. There's craziness all around us, and there's such hostility to the faith. But look what we're doing right now. We're gathered together to worship the living God. In the presence of our enemies, in the presence of a world that does not love the Lord is building his church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You see, in worship, in the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacraments, he gathers us and he feeds us with his word and his spirit that we might flourish. And what you are to know is Satan cannot stop this. Satan cannot stop the building of the church. Satan cannot stop the blessing that is ours. It's a blessing that takes place in the presence of our enemies. And the oil and the cup bring into view the Holy Spirit. It's the anointing and blessing of the Holy Spirit that preserves us. And even here again, there's a shepherding image. In the summer, when you're shepherding, and it's really hot, and the coats on the sheep can become heavy. That's when the insects and the pests can just annoy the sheep, even to the point of death. So what would you do if you were a shepherd? Well, you anoint the sheep. You take oil and you pour it over their heads so that these pests and insects and others would not torment them. Well, the Lord provides his spirit to us. You have an anointing that is not only sufficient but abundant. As David says, my cup overflows. And so here in this last part of the psalm, as we're speaking to, as the sheep are speaking to the shepherd, you have in verse 4 then these troubles, which are temporary. But then you have in verses 5 and 6 these blessings that are permanent. For you have a table set before you even during trials. And you have the assurance then that surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, I don't want to steal totally from Macmillan's book, even though I have already taken so many shepherding examples. But I'll always remember this verse, because when I was lying in the hospital, it was the sixth day. And this was the first day where I thought, you could really tell they thought I might make it. And it was the first day where I had the strength and enough even to look at text on a phone up to that point. It was not even closely possible. And a dear minister friend of mine texted me, and he texted me that verse and said, the goodness and mercy of the Lord, and he got this later, he told me, from Macmillan, are like two hound dogs that are always following you in this life and will never let you go. And that's what we're to know, that no matter what the trial, that is how much we are loved by the Lord our shepherd, that his goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Mercy is the goodness of God that's extended to us despite our sin. The goodness and mercy are his loving kindness. We deserve God's wrath because of our sin, but what we get is God's mercy and love and the blessed assurance that we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm, again, was my comfort in the hospital. When it was a question of whether I can continue breathing on my own or not, this psalm and the good shepherd who stood at the heart of it was all I could think about. Wasn't thinking about some home repair. I wasn't thinking about my favorite sports team. I wasn't thinking about those vain things that charm us most. I was thinking about this psalm and the blessed reality that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who brings all these promises to bear. That Jesus Christ was the one in whom my hope rested. Now, that wasn't to say that the situation wasn't difficult. It was as hard as anything I had ever experienced, but I knew that he was with me, and that he had gone before me, and that his goodness and mercy were following me. And it was really something once I finally got to that point where I could communicate with the doctors and the nurses, and they would, for days on end, they would come in and they would say to me, your attitude made all the difference. And I would say to all of them, I'm a Christian. I have a living hope in Jesus Christ raised from the dead. And that's, you know, whether you're on a hospital bed like I was, or whether we are blessed with good health, ultimately, that's where our hope rests. It rests with Jesus Christ, the one who died for our sins and was raised from the dead. And I'm here to tell you that I'm so thankful that I belong to the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. That I belong to a church that believes this. Now, I know better than anyone. I am the person, through your giving to Worldwide Outreach, I am the person that is sent out to talk to all these young men who are interested in ministry. And they're always asking me about the OPC. And so I have to know the answers. And one thing I immediately tell them is the OPC will break your heart because we are not a perfect church. But the OPC is also a church in which we know that we are sinners saved only by the grace of God. And the reason why I was so thankful to belong to the OPC is that when I was in such physically hard shape, it wasn't Jesus the good man that I was resting my hope in. It wasn't Jesus the environmentalist. It wasn't Jesus the philosopher. It wasn't Jesus the example. It was Jesus, the Son of God, who came into this world to seek and to save those who are lost. It was Jesus who died for my sins and rose again on the third day for my justification. So thankful to belong to a church that preaches the good news concerning Jesus Christ. And so thankful to belong to a church that knows that Jesus Christ is the Lord, our shepherd. That Jesus Christ is the one shepherd who gathers one flock. That through Jesus Christ, we are bound to our God, and he is bound to us. That through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, that our sins are forgiven. You see, Jesus is the shepherd in more ways than we could ever imagine. And this is the wonder of Scripture again. Have you ever thought about the fact that Jesus is the seeking shepherd? That we would not have loved Jesus unless he first loved us? That we would not have sought out Jesus unless he first sought us out? That we were lost in sin and trespasses, but he has sought us out and restored us, and he has done this with great joy. Do you recall what Jesus says in Luke chapter 15? When the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling because he was receiving and eating with sinners, Jesus says, "What man of you, if you have 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and goes after the one that's lost until he finds it? And when he finds it, he lays it upon his shoulder and goes on rejoicing." Friends, we are those who have been brought into the fold of God because Jesus is a seeking shepherd. Jesus is a seeking shepherd who loves us, but he doesn't stop there. He is also the good shepherd who lays down his life for us. We've read the words this morning. Jesus declares, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." And that's no small thing, for we are costly. There's a price to be paid. Do you remember what the prophet Isaiah declares? Isaiah chapter 53. "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." That's the reality. That's the reality. We are those who have gone astray. And yet the Lord has saved us from our sins because Jesus Christ is the good shepherd who has laid down his life for us. See, we cannot save ourselves. Our hope is found in the righteousness of another. Our hope is found in Jesus Christ, that one who obeys the will of the Father perfectly, but also he being the one, the Lamb of God, who takes away our sin by going to the cross. We are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus, so that truly Jesus drinks the cup of God's wrath, and then he pours out the cup of God's love. And we are those, when we hear that voice of Jesus, and we come to an end of ourselves, when we come to that point of not trusting in our own righteousness to save us, we hear his voice, and we know he's our Lord, he's our shepherd, and we follow him. So Jesus is the seeking shepherd who gathers his remnant flock. Jesus is the good shepherd who bore our sins with a grand purpose. But Jesus is also the great shepherd of the sheep who has taken up his life again. Hebrews chapter 13 declares that the God of peace is brought again from the dead. Our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep by the blood of an eternal covenant. You see, risen from the dead, this great shepherd, and our being joined to him, what is there to fear? He does. He's not only, he makes us to lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside still waters. He restores our soul. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And yet he's also the one that is with us. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil." He's the one that's with us. And he promises to bring us to that place where he is, that we might feast in fellowship with him forever. Jesus is the seeking shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Jesus is the great shepherd. Jesus is also the chief shepherd. He goes to the cross, is risen from the dead, and he has ascended upon high. And we're told when the chief shepherd appears, 1 Peter 5:4, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. In our pilgrimage to be with our God in heaven, There will be difficult times when our hope runs low, when we are battered, when things are very tough when it comes to living in this present evil age. But Psalm 23 is there for our comfort and assurance. One theologian has pointed out that everything that's mentioned here in this 23rd Psalm that has to deal with our pilgrimage, want, weariness, wanderings, the mysteries of the valley, the enemies of God, they're all here present. So that David, and we joining in the voice with David singing this, might know that they're mentioned because we are to know that they are negated by the grace of the Lord our Shepherd. That all these things we encounter in this life that can make us undone, that they're here so that we might know the Lord our Shepherd is at us at every turn, whether it's in want or wanderings, perplexities, as we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or even are surrounded by the enemies of God, that we're not to fear. For the Lord our Shepherd, He is with us, and He's only with us, but He has triumphed over all these things. Seeking Shepherd, Good Shepherd, Great Shepherd, Chief Shepherd, but also Lamb of God. Revelation 7:17. For the Lamb is in the midst of the throne, will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the promise of God. That's what awaits us in heaven, and that's very good news for sinners like you and me. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we again come before You, humbled by everything You have done for us in and through Jesus Christ. Help us, O Lord, to die to sin and live to righteousness, that the Lord our Shepherd, that He might be glorified. What a perfect Savior. What a perfect salvation. Help us, O Lord, as we go forward in this life, in the pilgrimage that is this life, to sing Your praise, to love You with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and to love one another as ourselves. Do thank You so much, O Lord, for Cornerstone Church. We do pray, O Lord, that You would be with them in their upcoming meeting here today. Give them peace, which only comes from above. Give them wisdom. Help them, O Lord, lead them and guide them. But may they know that You are their shepherd, that You are the one that is with them. And may this give them comfort as they proceed above all else. We thank You again, and we do pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us now sing in closing hymn 525, Shepherd Like a Shepherd. Sing, Shepherd, lead us. want to remind you, following the benediction, that we'll be regathering about 5 minutes later for the congregational meeting. Receive now the blessing of the Lord. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever.